you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, we've got a crazy show for you today. We are talking Nick Slib, astrology, and the A-lister who's still getting schooled by his mama. But first, Natalie Portman is speaking out after being slammed for her Oscars protest. I'm Carissa, this is Justin, this is Morgan, and this is Daily Pop.
Yes!
We're so excited to kick off the show. Okay, so Natalie Portman's Oscars cape has Hollywood divided. If you don't remember, on the hem were names of female directors who were not nominated. So Rose McGowan called Natalie's type of activism deeply offensive because Natalie is just an actress acting the part of someone who cares.
Ooh!
That's some harsh words.
So
Rose claims that Natalie doesn't walk the walk because she has only worked with two female directors, one of which was herself. Well, Natalie has now responded to Rose's statement. She admits that she has only made a few films with women, but she has worked on other projects with female directors that are now ghost history, meaning they never got made. She tried to get them made, couldn't get them made. Natalie also points out that female lead films are incredibly hard to get made at studios and that she's seen women directors forced out of projects. Natalie concludes with, "I have tried and I will keep trying. While I have not yet been successful, I am hoping that we are stepping into a new day." Wow. I mean, I think, what do you guys think about this? Do you have a side you're on?
Here's my thing. If we're all giving to charity here, you can't be mad at me if I can only give $20 and you can give $20,000. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're doing little or a lot, as long as you're doing something. And I get mad about these things because you can't look at somebody else and judge them for what they're doing because it's not up to your standards. And if we say every little bit counts and we're going with that, that everyone can do something at every level, then we need to let people do what they find comfortable.
Yeah, I think if Natalie Portman's trying to join the conversation, put a spotlight on something that she feels is important to her, it's not for Rose McGowan to attack her. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I understand that maybe it's what you said. It's like, if it's not up to Rose McGowan's standards, she's not the end-all be-all about how you do every single thing, how you bring attention to, you know, women directors or whatever the situation may be. Natalie Portman went about it the way she wanted to. There's no reason to attack her for it.
No. And I think some women may look at Rose McGowan and say, your form of activism might be a little too
extreme aggressive,
and too aggressive, but that's her form of activism. It's like when
and
people
why,
say...
And why be a woman going after another woman right now when she was just trying to do something positive? What is it in your day that you feel like you need to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Rose, you know, and I think it happens, you know. I feel like this happens all the time, and maybe not in this particular storyline, but it's like where you get someone who, she does work tirelessly for activism. Let's like just give props where props are due. Like Rose does a lot,
100%.
Right?
Absolutely.
100%. And I think that these people sometimes who are leading the force, they really do want others to join them because that's how real change happens, especially when you get big names like Natalie Portman, Reese Witherspoon, Jennifer Aniston, these others that are like working to try to like change things. And I think it's like, I get where she's coming from. It's a frustration because she's like, if change is gonna happen, I need you, those women who own these production companies, to actually put women first. Don't just say it'd be nice if you could, do it. And I get where she's coming from. I do think that her post was rude towards Natalie. Mm-hmm. I thought that she could have, like, messaged Natalie privately. I don't think putting her on blast publicly is necessary.
I don't, it doesn't make her look good either.
And here's the thing that I get where Natalie's coming from. Natalie's trying to explain to Rose, like, you don't know how many times I've tried to do this, and maybe it just hasn't worked out. You know, there's a lot of gatekeepers, as Natalie says in her post, along the way. Maybe she got to the point where the female director was signed on, but then couldn't get budget or couldn't get mm-hmm. distribution after a film was made or whatever the situation. Things fall apart.
Right.
But that doesn't mean the effort hasn't been there.
Right.
And so that's where it's like, Rose, I'm with you.
Behind the scenes.
You don't
of
know
everything.
The behind the scenes. I get your frustration. I get where you're coming from. I do think you need big game players to make a real change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I also think there's another way that you handle this. Mm-hmm. I think attacking another woman in public, as you brought up, is not the best way to
100%.
Do it.
100%.
It decredits it's Rose, who also, as you said, works tirelessly. Why is that word so hard to say?
Tirelessly.
Because
you're tirelessly.
My right eye has basically given out right? on me. I just think it makes her look bad.
Right.
For yeah. no reason. She's trying to do a lot of good for the world. Don't come after Natalie Portman for that.
100%.
She's, you know, maybe she hasn't done as much or whatever, but like.
But sometimes, let me just say this because this happens a lot. Sometimes when people are that loud and that, you know, not, I don't want to say outrageous, but that loud with their expression, sometimes they can't get through the door. But sometimes you have that secret agent like Natalie Portman who gets to that meeting and says, oh, by the way, I have these 5 female directors who I would really love for you guys to look at mm-hmm. and X, Y, and Z because people don't see it coming.
Yeah.
And I think we need to let the spies, let the secret agents get through there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think whenever Natalie, I was reading an interview she did right when she first launched her production company, and it kind of started out of a place of she wasn't getting the roles that she liked. She didn't, like, see the, like, storylines that she wanted to do. So it kind of started out of, like, seeking out storylines that fit her. It wasn't. And, you know, sometimes, like, maybe it was just, it just happened to be that, like, all these men had these storylines that she thought were great movies and she wanted to work with those people. She said a lot of them were her friends.
Right.
And so that's just kind of how it started, and maybe it just snowballed into that, and it didn't, maybe she, the putting women first wasn't the priority in 2009 or whenever it was that she started this, 2011, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but let's be real. And I don't mean no shade to Natalie Portman. Natalie Portman is not running, like, a CBS Studios or is having, like, a Anna Perina where she's putting out 17 films a year.
Right.
Like, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a woman who's just starting up, maybe putting out 1 or 2 films a year. Like, we're not talking about a Blumhouse
yeah.
here. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
So you can't be like, oh, you have 17 Academy Award
you
nominated.
You expect so much from
yeah,
her,
you
right.
expect so much from her, but she's not doing that much.
She was just starting out at some point, too. But she's
yeah.
very successful now.
So just like...
So she can make a difference. And I think... But I think this was Natalie's way of trying, you know? Like you know what? She hasn't been able to make those films,
don't
but doing
something.
Don't
punish somebody for trying, for doing something good.
Yeah.
She didn't do anything that was not good
no.
and positive. And that's what we should be focusing on instead of undercutting somebody
and
publicly bashing them.
Especially another woman.
Exactly. It just goes against everything that she's...
Wasn't Natalie's response pretty classy?
Well, that's who she is. She's classy.
Yeah.
That's why we've loved her for as long as we've loved her. Yeah.
But I wouldn't have responded.
No, you have to. If someone's going to attack you like that, that is not something you can just not respond to. That wasn't an option.
No, I would have never responded. I would have let, because it happens every time. Someone goes to the extreme and then someone else brings up the receipts later on and says, oh my God, Natalie did X, Y, and Z for me. This movie got made. She tried to push for this. And then you have to come back and apologize because someone else showed you
the
audit.
I disagree. Rose was way too aggressive for her to not be able to say something.
I agree. I think she had to say something. And I will also say that these tweets, these backlash about Natalie wearing this outfit and being called out for not having enough female directors in her production company Rolodex was happening before Rose wrote that. It wasn't like Rose was the only one. Rose was the loudest one because she's a celebrity, but there was a lot of people calling her out.
But Rose is talking like Natalie's business forms and contacts are public knowledge. That's
yeah.
the craziest thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're not talking about somebody's tax return. You're not looking up somebody's arrest report. You're going on an assumption that this woman has not
from
been an
IMDb,
advocate of something.
Yeah, it's IMDb, like, those are so accurate.
All right,
okay.
Let's move on. So nothing like a talk with your mama to set you straight. Snoop Dogg admits he had a talk with his mom, and now he is apologizing to Gail King. Here's the new video.
2 wrongs don't make no right. When you're wrong, you gotta fix it.
So with that being said, Gail King.
I publicly tore you down by coming at you in a derogatory manner based off of emotions, me being angry at questions that you asked.
Overreacted.
I should have handled it way different than that. I was raised way better than that. So I would like to apologize to you publicly for the language that I used and calling you out of your name and just being disrespectful.
Ooh, you know, we've all been a little lit, mm-hmm. a little too crazy, and popped off on somebody and left a voicemail and went and did all of this.
Yep.
And then the minute the dust settles, you're like,
ooh, went
ooh,
too far.
I cannot believe that. But I know
yep.
from growing up with a black mother, I know that mother called him on that landline because mamas love to call a landline. He let it go to voicemail. It did beep. And all he heard was, Calvin?
Yeah.
Calvin Aloysius Brodus, you better pick up that phone, boy. Yeah. You better pick up this goddamn phone. I did not raise nobody to be going on the intranet. And talking like that to somebody. Calvin, you better call your mother back. You don't want me to come over there, Calvin. Calvin? Calvin!
So true.
You know, if your mother calls you and she uses that first, middle and last name, you're done.
Hell yeah. I think it's just kind of cute.
Carissa, hell yeah.
Yeah. I just think it's so cute that Snoop Dogg, of all people, is like, my mama called and set me straight.
Listen, here's the thing. I when I saw the video and I saw the first half, I understood. We talked about this in great deal when this all happened. I felt his anger. I thought he had a point. But then when he started going into the name calling, it's the same sort of thing with Rose. It's like, if you're upset and you're screaming at your mom in public when you're a teenager, you're the one that looks like the brat, not the other person.
Yeah.
So I just feel like I wish he cut the video off when he, like, right when it started to get really aggressive, because I'm like, Snoop, you're so much better than this. This is not who you are. Don't call somebody a bitch. It's mm-hmm. not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy that he's realized, listen, that was the wrong way to go about it.
I love how it, but it takes, you know, how
it always
many
takes
people,
your mom.
He probably had 80,000 comments on that video.
Moms are the
doesn't
shadiest.
Matter. It just needs mom. Mm-mm.
Moms are the shadiest. My mom always makes one little comment to me that I'm just like, really? And it just sticks to me
yeah,
all the time.
Yeah, even if it's just super mellow, super sly, you're like, what did she mean by that?
Yeah, she
did
always,
Am I being really B-I-T-C-H-Y?
No, you know what really happened?
Or life decisions?
He got unhigh because in California you can smoke, and he talks about smoking all the time. The high wore off. He went look at the views, scrolled through the views, saw Oprah's ass in there, and was like, oh. And then all of a sudden went to messages, and Monique was like, you don't want none of that. I would take this back. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, does he get unhigh, you think?
I think sometimes, like, when the kids are about to come home, you know, you gotta let it settle in.
Yeah, I love Snoop, though. I really do.
Well, one of Kobe's friends, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, thinks that Kobe would also side with Snoop's mom. Kareem wrote a powerful essay for The Hollywood Reporter where he says this kind of disrespect towards women is harmful and unacceptable. And he truly believes that Kobe would tell everyone to go back off Gail.
Wow.
I agree with that.
Do you think that's true?
I really do. I also think that Kobe would have taken the high road. I don't think that he would bring any more unnecessary attention to this matter. I also think he would have answered the question and said no.
Which he did.
Which he did. He's done time and time again.
He did it time and time again. He did every step necessary. We know how that story ended. I just think it probably, I stand by my feeling, I just don't think it was necessary in that moment. But I also don't think it was necessary for Snoop to call her names. I think he could have posted a video and shown how upset he was. I think it just went on too long, which he's apologized for. So I'm happy that his mom got involved. It was the right decision Snoop got.
Calvin!
Way to intervene, Mom. Okay, coming up, which celebrity couple do you want to see back together? We're getting into the Valentine's Day spirit and playing matchmaker next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Pop culture enthusiasts, there are still some celebrity breakups that break our hearts, to be honest. OnBuy.com surveyed thousands of people, and we also were a little surprised about the results. The couple people most want to reunite this Valentine's Day, is Brad and Angelina.
I don't believe, I'm not for this.
I could see it.
I don't see this at all. I don't see it. Does anyone else see it in the studio?
No.
You know what
I'm
it
with
is?
You.
I think what was happening was when they first got together, we were imagining all the steamy things that they were doing to one another.
Well, we saw it in Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yes.
They were literally, it was like, what's happening?
So that's in our minds. And I think the second thing is, whenever there's kids involved, you always want to see the couple back together. So I think that's why they beat out Brad and Jen.
I don't know why.
I don't know.
It
just got too vindictive. Like, they're just, I feel like they...
It's
went
very
too
broken.
Far,
yeah.
You know, like after the breakup happened, it just got too ugly where I don't know.
And I don't know if I was even such a super fan of them when they were together. I like, obviously they're both stunningly beautiful people and it was exciting to see them show up. But like, I'm just such a Jen Aniston girl myself.
Yeah. Well, but that's what's funny is like the top two were both Brad. First one was Brad with Angelina. Second one was Brad with Jen.
Like Brad then, like, I don't know, those photos, it's just like, ugh,
yeah,
I don't like it.
Imagine it. When you fight with your man, and all of a sudden you have that makeup sex, it's hot. Imagine fighting with your man on this level, you would set that bed on fire, girl.
Yeah, it's true.
You would have the fire department in there in less than 20 minutes. Those sheets would be crisp and wet, but crisp.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield were number three. That one I like because they
love
were always
them.
A cute couple.
They are so cute.
I know. I miss them.
I miss them. And he's the cutest. What is he doing?
He's in London doing a play.
Oh, I love people who do plays in London.
I never felt they had sexual chemistry. Like nothing about them told me that they were doing something fun that I was missing out on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they were still cute.
So cute.
Yeah.
Are you guys surprised that after all these years, 9% still want Johnny Depp and Winona Ryder to get back together?
I'm personally a Johnny Depp and Kate Moss fan. That's
Never.
Really the top Johnny Depp for me. I'm not really into Winona and Johnny, but looking back, look at Johnny Depp. I mean, that face,
look
that bone
Winona.
Structure, he was like a young Timothy Chalamet there.
Look at Winona.
Yeah, Winona was a star.
Hot. Any celebrity couples that you guys would like to see back together?
Yeah, you know.
Who?
I don't know, actually.
Brad and Angelina. Brad and Jen are my
Those are my two
that I always
favorite.
Think about. But I don't know if I really want them back together, but at least just, you know, Valentine's Day.
This is a TBT one. Angelica Houston and Jack Nicholson.
That is a couple if I've ever heard of one. There is no one more regal and chic than Angelica Houston.
You're welcome.
That bitch rules the world.
You're
I don't
welcome,
know where
America.
That came from, but that was a good
really,
one.
That you pulled that out, and I mean the level of excitement I feel.
Because I read that book.
Right now.
I read the book, and she was talking about how hot and tumultuous
yes.
and how much he broke her heart, but then she would go
yes.
back, and then he would like cheat on her while she was in the room. Like, it was like this whole thing.
Cheat on her while she was in the room?
Like, they were in a house in the hills. She was like doing a bump in the
Always
bathroom.
Always at
was,
Chateau.
Like, took it up. Like,
Always
it was just
at
crazy.
Chateau.
Read the book, people.
All right. Gotta move on to
she
Will and Harry. Okay.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes.
All right, actually, it's Harry and Meghan. So the question is, will Harry and Meghan upstage Princess Beatrice at her own wedding? That's what UK-based show This Morning asked when discussing Beatrice's wedding, which is planned for later this year. If you're Beatrice, do you want them there?
By the way, if my father was going through what her father is going through, I need every distraction I can find from the UK to the US. So let's get Harry and Meghan in there. Hell, I'll take Jussie Smollett and half of Chicago in the front row. And you know what? Let's TBT it back. Let's have Paris Hilton get out a limo with her vagina hanging out. Like,
right.
Let's get all the distractions.
Those were the days.
So nobody will talk about my father.
I think that they're probably going to upstage them, but I don't think for the people in the actual wedding, I just think for the public.
Yeah.
Right? I think people are going to be excited to see Harry and Meghan. I think that they're going to go to this wedding. I think if they don't go, it's going to start to get real nasty.
Well, you know
but
what?
But can you imagine? Still, all the articles are going to be like, what Meghan wore to Beatrice's wedding, not
you know
Beatrice's
what?
Wedding dress.
But she's not going to feel that way about her actual day. She's not going to feel like Meghan is upstaging her when she's there.
But you let's know, remember, they showed up at her wedding with those big loud hats, and everybody was talking about those two loud hats. So she ain't thinking about upstaging nobody when it was Meghan's turn.
I think they just like hats. I mean, look, she's part of the royal family. She's his first cousin. Like, I think that they should go, and I don't think she's gonna upstage her at the wedding, and I think publicly she will probably, but like, who cares?
But let me just break this up to you. So this wedding, unlike her sister's wedding, is paid through private funds. So nobody has to go. This is not a royal engagement. Do you think, because it's a private ceremony and it's not a royal situation...
You know what I think?
You think they're going to stay home?
I think he might go alone.
I think that's a very good possibility.
But this is his first cousin. They have been through everything together. They're close. I think he might go alone. I think he might not. But also,
I take that back. I think they're going to go together. And I think because they're just trying to also send the message that this is still family and we still love our family, even though we've decided not to work with them anymore, technically, we are still family and we'll support each other at these big moments in their lives. So I think if Megan doesn't go, Megan knows what that's good. It's just not going to look good.
But does she care? She's kind of gotten her way now. Like, she's not living there. I don't know. I think it's going to be if it's convenient for her.
I can see Claire Marklewood doing this.
Claire Marklewood.
I just made her name. Claire Underwood. Claire Marklewood. I can see her staying home.
Harry said, oh, she's with the child. Like, we're sending, you know.
Yes.
I could see one of those.
I could see it.
We have nannies.
Doing accents today. Don't be intimidated.
We're checking in with you guys on social on Rose McGowan calling out Natalie Portman. Courtney says, who is Rose to make the rules on how women can protest or support other women?
Agreed. It's always the women in the room that are calling out the other women that are just like, it's like... just be nice.
But you know what? Rose, you're passionate about your craft.
Yes.
I totally understand it. I get it. So I know where you're coming from. It's a place of good, but you made a left.
And Love Reality says women need to accept each other and stop this cancel culture. Stop acting like a mob mentality. Not every woman is the same. We are all individuals.
Now, no one say cancel. Don't be bringing up that C word up in here.
I really don't like that word. We're trying to keep that up for
2020, right?
We haven't said it once.
Okay, up next. Think you understand astrology? Well, you may have it all wrong. We have an astrologer in studio to explain and do a reading for us. Morgan is very, very excited.
She's going to monopolize the time.
Everybody was making fun of me, and now look where we are.
Welcome back to Daily Pop. We are with astrologer Chani Nicholas. Woo! Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, first off, briefly break down what astrology really is and what does that do. It's different than horoscopes, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, your horoscope is a very, very generalized little tidbit about what's happening in the part of the sky that the sun was in when you were born. The first actual horoscope was written on August 21st, 1930.
Ooh.
Yeah, so they're really, really, really new. Astrology's been around for thousands of years.
Wow.
Horoscopes, as we think of astrology, like we think astrology is the horoscope that you read in the paper, that's only been around for 80-some years.
Mm. How long has astrology been around?
Thousands.
Okay.
So horoscopes are not your actual chart. Your chart is a snapshot of the sky the moment that you were born.
Mm.
And it's the entire sky, and it's very, very time sensitive, as you all know, because we had to get your exact time.
Oh,
yes.
God, that was stressful.
And so astrologers take into consideration the entire sky and everything that was happening in that moment.
Mm.
Your horoscope is just like, hey, this is what's happening in
for
a very,
everybody.
Very, yeah.
It's not detailed.
No.
It was never supposed to be. It was just a really fun thing that happened in the 30s. Bless you.
Excuse me.
In
thank
the
you.
30s, we were going, the world was going through a major recession.
Right.
And so this was the first little good bit of news. Mm. They wanted to announce the birth of Princess Margaret. And they thought that they would get...
Fabulous.
Yeah, and so they announced her birth. And it was the first time that in the printed press, something had been written about astrology, and people loved it so much. They were like, give us more of that.
Mm.
And so in times of great need, in times of, like, big upheaval, people generally turn to astrology.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
So you did a reading on each of us.
Pulled your charts.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Morgan, good font, though. Good
Morgan
font,
has Jeannie. Been dying.
Thank you.
So let's start with her.
Book font.
I love your book font.
What did you find out about Miss Morgan?
Well, Miss Morgan. So, Morgan, your chart, I don't know if this resonates with you, but it's all about career and communication.
Ooh,
so Dana. So you have a Virgo rising.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
And so Virgo risings love to analyze.
Yes.
And they love to, like, look at all the data.
Yeah.
And gather all the info.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And critique it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Compartmentalize it and categorize it. And the mind is always super, super busy trying to gather facts.
That's why I have an eye twitch.
Yes. It's a little anxiety-inducing sometimes.
It's been 3 weeks. Okay. Yeah.
And also what Virgo loves to do is it loves systems that help put the world in order.
Yes,
and
I love order.
It's really about healing also. It loves like systems of healing. And astrology, Virgo is very aligned with astrology because it's all about categorization. Each planet means something different. Each sign means something different. And the way they're synthesized all comes up with a really like abundant amount of information, which Virgo loves.
Right.
And so it helps make sense of life.
Right.
That's how you go in. You want to be known as somebody who's like, I'm here to make sense of things, to clarify things, to organize things, to help make things make sense.
So what in her chart is coming up this year?
The planet that rules that is Mercury, the planet of communication, and it's in Gemini.
So I'm
chatty, 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 chatty.
I'm chatty.
In your 10th house of career.
So I'm doing the right thing.
You had to do this.
Thank God it worked out. Would have been shit out
wow.
of luck.
Now, it would have been more impressive if I didn't know it was you that I was reading for, and I was just looking at this chart and being like, oh, well, this person, like, you're on a speaker box. Like, if we didn't have TV, you would have been the person in the town center, like, on the, being like, hey, yeah, I have some more information for you guys.
Okay, what about Justin?
No, go her first. Go her first.
Yeah,
by me.
Okay, so actually, both of you, and I said this to the producer, both of you have a very, very relationship-focused chart.
Oh,
so, wow.
Weird.
A lot of the, and I don't mean that.
I don't know what that means.
You're like, yours is positive, mine's negative.
No. But you have an incredible mark of abundance that comes to you through the right relationships.
Ooh.
So I would say that, and there's a lot of, most of your chart is oriented towards the other person. Mm-hmm. And so does that resonate
sure,
for you?
Sure, yeah.
But what's her rising?
Her rising is also Virgo.
Oh my God, Virgo, don't get me!
Let her enjoy her reading, please. Okay. Jesus.
I don't know. This is like speaking another language to me. So that means...
So it's the same kind of thing. It's like wanting to be known for being able to make information practical and practically applicable.
Okay.
There's a real practical nature to it, except for the ruler of your rising sign, so the planet that steers the direction of your life, is in career, and it's in a chatty, chatty sign. Yours is in the place of relationship.
Yeah.
And it's in a sign that it has a little bit of a harder time in. Mm. Like yours is just very clear, direct, like I'm here to talk.
Mm-hmm.
To you, to me, to everybody.
Yeah.
And yours is like, it can get a little lost or it can get a little sidelined in a sense.
Yeah.
Where it, I don't know if you feel like
does that mean her voice doesn't get heard all the time? Is that
maybe.
What that means?
Is that true?
But in a relationship sector.
I mean, I scream and I yell. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, what about Justin?
It's the same kind of thing. Well,
this has to go too.
Okay, so it's the same kind of thing where the ruler of your ascendant is also in, so yours is Taurus. So you all have earth signs.
You have a Taurus rising.
Yeah. Very hardcore.
Yeah. What does that mean to you?
Huh?
What does it mean to you?
That I'm very, like, need to be seen.
Yeah.
Grounded,
I would say
right?
that. It's very grounding, and it's a lot about mm-hmm. beauty and love and pleasure.
And very stubborn.
Sensual pleasure.
Which is weird. Which
sensual
is weird
pleasure.
Because it's like sensual pleasure from the Taurus and the Scorpio.
Well, so your Venus is ruling your ascendant, and it's in Scorpio in the place of relationships. So while I say on one hand both of your charts are about heavily focused on relationship, there's also like a feeling of a contradiction there. Because it's like... feeling the need to be in partnerships, feeling, and I mean that by clients, by platonic partners, by business partners, mm-hmm. and also romantic partners, but there's a little bit of a contrary nature to it. So there's a hesitation.
I see that with you
100%. Because I want a dude, but also I still want to live my best
exactly.
life.
Yeah. And so is there a lot of partnerships in your life? Like, are you always with another person?
Always.
I'm always with another person.
Yeah.
Now, what do you see in that career thing?
Career thing, you have your moon, which is also a very important planet in the chart, and Mars. And so there's a way in which it's all in Aquarius, and so that's about utilizing your intellect and like what you know and information in terms of what you're doing in your career. But there's a fight there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's like you have to live out your life in the public and people will really like you and feel mm-hmm. like really reflected by you. But also there's a conflict there.
Yeah.
So there might be like a little bit of a struggle to feel like you, like, how am I gonna get to the thing and to the place?
That is so you. Isn't it?
This was so great. Thank you so much.
You better not leave. We need to talk to you.
Yeah, we have more questions.
At a commercial break.
You guys, this is Chani. Check out her book. It's called You Were Born for This, Astrology for Radical Self-Acceptance.
Oh,
and it's out now. Thank you so much for joining us. All right, coming up, in a life or death situation, is your instinct to protect or to just run? A new movie has us asking that question and what we would really do. That's next.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Maybe we ski the beast after lunch.
Pete,
I don't think it'll be that challenging. It'll be fine.
Is that okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
It looked like it was gonna kill us.
For a moment.
The kids were screaming because it felt like we were gonna die.
Pete?
Wow.
And I look over at Pete, and he had grabbed his phone. Pete left us.
That's a look at Downhill, a dark comedy dropping tomorrow with Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Will Ferrell. It's about a couple who have to rethink their marriage after one of them abandons the family during an avalanche. Will, if you were in this situation, what do you think you would do? Stay or run?
Let me tell you something. We knocked over a night on a light on Nightly Pop, and I ran out of there as fast as I could. I hop, skipped, and jumped out of frame. Okay.
Yeah.
Left everyone behind. I cannot be inflicted upon. I need things to be intact. I have a lot in career in my chart. I can't be messing around.
100%. 100%.
Everyone should have the same reflexes. Mm-hmm. Go.
And if I hadn't taught my family enough about those reflexes, I failed as a father, but I will see you on the other side to apologize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I gotta go as well.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. Now, because of all the school shootings and all the public things that happen, it's weird. My mind goes in a weird place. So when I walk into a place, I used to recognize the decor, but now I start to look for ways to get out of the room if something would happen. Like, how am I gonna jimmy this to get this and MacGyver this to get out of this? So it's this weird thing that happens in my mind now.
Totally, absolutely.
That's the world we live in.
I would like to think that I would help you guys, but I also know at this point in this pregnancy, I'd be the slowest one. So I'd probably be like, go! Save yourselves! I'm coming!
And we'd be like, we thought you would say that, so we left. shoot the baby at us.
Make this a little personal. So a fire alarm goes off in this building. We're here on set during live television.
Bye. Hasta luego. I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. Seeing if I can jump down. I'm not doing this. I'll say something nice
at your funeral.
I can't. If they're rushing down the steps.
Would you be pushing people? Would you be one of those kind
100.
Of people?
100. You know the guy on the Titanic?
You know,
there's like women
it's
and
kind
children.
Of Lord of the Flies.
Yeah. And he like hits the woman, he takes a child. What are those babies?
We gotta go.
I actually don't believe you, Justin.
Also,
I think
we'd run
you
out and
honestly...
be here for the show the next day.
No, you wouldn't.
At 6:30 in the morning.
I'd be like, where's Carissa? Why she didn't make it to the meeting?
I'm still trying to get down the stairs. I'm so slow right now.
I'd be in so much denial that I left you behind that I'd be like, where'd she go?
We asked her to come, but she was taking too much time.
She was worried about her hair.
Sorry she couldn't be here for you guys this morning.
She's
she
trying to like, get the tanning lotion, the lip gloss for tomorrow.
All right. Up next, we're going to show you the explosive way to make your Valentine's Day unforgettable. We'll be right back.
Everybody's like, how did she die? I'd be like critiquing people.
Yeah. Whether you're celebrating Valentine's or Galentine's Day, one way to show your love, of course, is with cake and sprinkles. Yeah. All right. Please welcome the queen of explosion cakes and owner of Flower Shop, Amita Kasem.
Thank you
for being here.
Thanks for having
me. So this is those cool cakes. I've only seen them on Instagram. I've never tried one, but all the candy spills out.
I've always wanted to cut one of these.
I know. So today what inspired you to come up with this concept?
So actually, piñatas. I grew up in Mexico, and you know every party has a piñata, and it's just that fun moment where you know what's gonna happen, but you live for it.
Yes.
And I felt like dessert was like that for me. And I just wanted to turn a cake into a piñata.
So smart. Okay, so I want you to show us how to make one. So right here you have, what, 6 beautiful heart cakes?
Yes, so I start with 6 layers, and usually they're round. This is Valentine's Day, so I decided to bake them in a heart pan. Mm-hmm. So if you want to just take the center out, I'll show you one. You could do the rest.
Yes. And do you just put food coloring? What kind of cake is this? What shows up best?
Yeah, so this is actually, and you just want to take the center out of all of them except the pink layer, which for me is my... Look at him. He knows about baking snacks.
Do I put this one at the bottom?
So here, you'll do a ring of frosting on the bottom.
Okay.
So that what this is doing is this is going to glue it down. And then you'll start with the purple. There you go. And you can bake from scratch. You can get it from my book, The Power of Sprinkles, the recipe.
What flavors you also make a, taste best with the candy?
So I like to do vanilla just because it's the best also for getting that good rainbow color. Mm. But we also have a kit at Williams Sonoma.
Oh, not the pink one, sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. We'll swap it. We'll do orange.
Very messed up. First day on the
job. There's literally no messing up as long as you're having fun. I mean, look, he's already a pro.
Good job.
I actually saw this on Instagram. I saw it on your Instagram. I got a little excited. I got a little excited.
You're going the wrong way.
I got a little excited. Here we go. Here we go.
Wait, what?
I just got a little excited.
So what you want to do actually is to keep twisting on the top so it this doesn't happen.
It's a little...
But it's okay. We're just having fun here.
Thank you for being so patient with us.
No, of course. And we actually have a kit at Williams-Sonoma that has everything you need to make this cake, from the sprinkles to the food coloring, the frosting, all of it.
Oh,
so
my God.
You can make it at home.
I love it. So how tall do you recommend it be? Like, do you think you should always do? How many layers do you have here?
I like 6. I think it looks so pretty, like a tall hat, like a Willy Wonka top hat.
It's a lot of work. I need another break.
You have one more before we get to dump sprinkles. You can do it.
Oh, God, I'm listening.
And this cream, and what kind of... icing is this cream cheese?
So this is actually cream cheese frosting. I first had it on red velvet cake, and I was like, why is this cake so good? And I quickly was like, oh, it's cream cheese frosting. So I decided, before you do that, we're gonna cover it in sprinkles. You wanna pour it in?
Yes.
Here, let me just take that off.
So just pour it right in there?
Oh, yeah. And these are all my favorite sprinkle mix.
Oh, my God. Oh, it comes with a sprinkle mix, too?
Yes, all of it. There you go. Wait, and you don't have to wait to just see it on Instagram. We're actually opening in LA in about 2 months.
Congrats.
This is awesome.
That's Beverly Hills, here we come.
Okay, I have to admit something. I've always wanted to cut into one of these cakes.
Well, is today your day?
Today is my day.
There you go, top it off.
Here, I need to add more?
Sure. You always add more sprinkles.
I never do it good enough for her.
It never happened.
There you go.
It never happened. Ta-da. So next step,
I've messed up 4 times already.
A few of these, just so you could see how we would cover it.
Wait, why are they sticking so perfectly for you? I know that would not happen with me.
No, it would, because your frosting is fresh. It sticks to any kind of fresh frosting.
Mm.
I think instead of decorating, he just wants to cut it.
I just want to cut right into it.
Just go for it.
Okay. No, that looks
awesome. And the key to cutting into the cake is?
Going all the way to the center.
So here.
Yeah.
And going like this, correct?
Yeah, take a huge slice out. Just go for it.
Amazing. And I want to dedicate this to the Wade family. Welcome to the LGBTQ family. You're part of the letter people now.
We also have a different way you can make it with our new board book.
Hold on.
It's for babies.
Oh, good. Exciting. Oh, my gosh. Here it comes. So how do you serve that usually?
Completely out. There you go.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
Well, you can put it on a plate or you can just,
Oh, my God. Okay, well, I'm just going to do the old-fashioned fork.
Come on, Carissa. Come on. Come on, Carissa. Come on, Carissa. Yes! Yes! Okay, this cake is really good.
It really good.
It's celebrating life and rainbows and living every day like it's your birthday.
Okay, give me this hand.
I love it.
Cheers to that.
Amita? Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Amazing.
Thanks for having me. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Check out her interactive book, Bake a Rainbow Cake, out February 25th. So exciting. All right. Coming up, how good is your rom-com knowledge? We're going to have Justin and Morgan face off when we come back.
Amina, this is the bomb.
Yay! I just love how excited you were to cut it.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited to cut it. Not today. Yeah.
Would you risk your life
for a selfie. A new study from Case 24 revealed that 41% of people would. Morgan, what is so funny? You're dying. Okay, that to me is ridiculous. No, I would never. 50% said they would stand on the edge of a cliff for a photo. When I went to Hawaii last year, I literally saw girls doing this. I wanted to scream at them as though I was their mothers. I'm like, what are you doing? They were literally about to die. All it took was like one gust of wind and they would have died. And they just had to get the photo.
I'm not laughing about that.
Crazy. 4% also admitted to endangering someone else for a good photo.
To endanger my life.
What is happening?
When Carissa was trying to like get to the table and started like hopping forward with the chair.
Carissa's having a hard time shuffling herself while pregnant.
Nobody
so
was
it literally
pushing,
sounds like this.
So nobody was pushing my table in.
Like this.
And so this is how I had to get
into
the table.
But she wants everyone to know. She wants you to know that no one's helping her. She's like.
No other way to get there. We gotta go. Bye. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thanks for listening to the podcast edition of Daily Pop. Remember, we've got a new episode every day. Make sure to subscribe and have a great rest of your day.